Today on Real Radio.
By midweek, we need Bible corporately as a group. We need Bible every day. Jesus has been building his young, vibrant church on Bible. Peter has been preaching Bible. They're only several months old at this point. We know at least 10,000, probably it's safe to assume, people have been gathered to the body of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 5. The church is growing. God said in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. It's the Bible that will make a difference in your life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be taking a look at verse 12 through 16 of chapter 5. Here, many were healed of both infirmities and unclean spirits. It's yet another passage of how the early church, right there in Jerusalem, began to turn the world upside down. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Just What the Doctor Ordered.
You ever traveled? Mexico, maybe? You ever been to Europe? When your doctor gets you before you go? And he says, now look, I want you to take 500 milligrams of this antibiotic before you go. I want you to take 1,000 milligrams of this thing. I want you to take a drop of this once a day. And whatever you do, don't drink the water. And you know we do that because we're going to be a long way from home. We don't want to get sick. And there is just something that we Americans have like no other place on earth, and that is a standard of living and of healthcare concerns that I think are just second to none. And that is, we have been raised up in such an environment that our system has almost been sterile from a lot of the things that attack the body around in the other parts of the world. When we go over places and when we make our trips into Russia, my goodness, the team members on these outreaches, it looks like the local Thrifty's drugstore. And of course, on our last trip, we had a physician with us, and his room looked like a clinic. But you don't want to get sick. And us Americans are so fragile when it comes to traveling like that, because we can catch something and it just knocks us down. Well, Jesus desires the church to be healthy. And in fact, the title of the message this morning is Just What the Doctor Ordered. Jesus has ordered for the church this morning something very special, an injection of the Holy Spirit. We need, as the Bible says, daily to be in the Word of God, daily to be knowing Him, daily to be experiencing our vitamins in the Holy Spirit. We're so careful, you know, about taking care of our body. I had a physical a little while back, a couple months ago, and the doctor pulls my blood and I get the results back. He calls me up and he says, you know what, you gotta stop eating that In-N-Out. Right then and there, I just decided to hang up on him just for that terrible counsel. And he's, you gotta watch your diet and this and stuff and the other thing, and I wanna have a quality life, health-wise. I believe our day's numbered. God knows the number. But the quality has a lot to do with what we do with it. You know, so I start jogging. You know, he said, you know, you need to get this stuff out of your system and get this into your life because, you know, you could have a heart attack in the future. So I said, man, I don't want to have a heart attack. So I go down to the health club. And you get on the treadmill. You set this thing up computerized. You run it and you go with it, you know. And I had to stop it. You press the emergency bailout button on the thing. Got off, my heart's going like this. My temples were pounding. And I was deciding, I think I'm having a heart attack. sitting around, my doctor says, will kill you. Well, getting on that treadmill, I think, is going to kill you all the more. But we have all these things about being healthy. We got to be careful. And Jesus wants the church healthy. It's God's will that the church be healthy, not beggarly, not weak, not sick, not dying, not sickly, not anemic, healthy. That is God's will for each and every one of us who comprise the church of Jesus Christ. He wants it a spirit-filled church. He wants it an energized church, a unified church, as we've been looking in the last several chapters. And God will, in that context, generate a multiplying church. The church will grow. Those are all the ingredients for a healthy body. And God has seen fit for nearly the last 2,000 years to operate it that way. Satan's desire is for a dead church or a sick church. Satan's desire is for us to be powerless, for you to feel victimized as a Christian in the world. I don't have any power. I don't think I can make a difference. The word of God doesn't seem to be affecting me, and you feel powerless. Satan says, that's just where I want you to be. In fact, you in that condition, you're better off to the hands of the enemy than somebody who's dead and gone to glory, because in our weak state, we can affect many other people just by power of suggestion. How are you doing? Not very good. This Bible stuff's not working for me. Well, that's contagious, because it's our natural propensity to back off, lay off, and not exercise. And when somebody comes alongside and says, just give up, we already feel like giving up. We already feel like punching that button and jumping off of the treadmill, because we don't see things happening. I've been dieting. That's another thing that'll kill you, is a diet. I've been having a can of tuna in the morning, bananas at lunch, and by that time in the evening, I'm so sick of my diet, I don't feel like eating. But the thing is this. We need to be very, very careful that what we take in spiritually is giving us nutrition so that we can be strong, so that we can be healthy. We run too much without God's input, and we'll become sterile. And Satan loves that. Satan, in one word, would love to have you and this church. And by the way, if he can get you sickly, he can get this church sickly. He wants us very anemic. Jesus wants us running for him. Satan wants us limping for him. God wants us joyful. Satan wants us sorrowful. God wants us useful. Satan delights in us feeling and believing that we're useless, that God can't use me. And you might this morning say, well, I'm so weak, I'm so nothing that God can't use me. That's exactly the qualifications God desires to use so that he can get all the glory. Jesus said in the Gospels, I will build my church. The word build in the Greek means to assemble or confirm my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He said he would build it. There's a lot of building going on. The wall's been blown out. The next wall coming down is that wall, and things are going up. And during the week, you can hear hammers and cement trucks and things going on, and it means absolutely nothing unless Jesus builds the church. It's not by a board, it's not by a pastor, not by a committee. It's by Christ. He builds the church. He builds the church if we are focused on his word. To take our medicine, we need to take our word, or his word. This week, a year ago, we were in Russia, and my wife got very sick, and it resulted in hospitalization, and it was a terrible thing. And I literally had so many prescriptions from the doctor that the pharmacist, this is not a joke, began to call me by my first name. And from that event, he calls me by my first name when I go in there now. She had to take so many things, it was disgusting. And as I was driving down there one time, I looked at this thing and it's, you know, all this stuff is supposed to be the great magic cure. If only the word of God was written on this thing. And I got back to my computer after getting Lisa her medication, and I began to work up, and I made prescription pads. It looks just like a doctor's pad. And it has the little RX symbol in the top left-hand corner, and it has an area to write scripture. And now in biblical guidance, we sit down, and I'll write out the verses, and you take them home and apply them. Well, down at the bottom, it says, like a good prescription, it says, do not substitute. And then down underneath that it says, to ensure effectiveness, use only the word of God. And then down beneath it says, Isaiah 55:11, that says that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish that very thing for which he has sent it out for. We need Bible. By the end of the week, by midweek, we need Bible corporately as a group. We need Bible every day. Jesus has been building his young, vibrant church on Bible. Peter has been preaching Bible. They're only several months old at this point. We know at least 10,000, probably it's safe to assume, people have been gathered to the body of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 5. The church is growing. God said in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. It's the Bible that will make a difference in your life, regardless of the opinion of men. It's the Bible. God's word will give you the healing that you need. And so, we pick it up this morning in verse 12 of Acts chapter 5, where it says there, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And we'll stop here for today. We're going to look this morning at a testimony or the report card of a healthy church. The church is moving here. And I look at the book of Acts, and I don't know about you, but don't you kind of pound your fist down on your desk and say, God, where's the power? God, where's the power in our lives? Where's the power as the church? Not to be bigger than some other church, not to have a higher edifice, not to have louder chimes or bells out front, not to have a bigger staff, but power. And you step back and you go, God, I want to see the power. And this week I've been whining about that to God. Where's the power? Where's the power? And God's silent all week long. And last service he began to just rub my nose in my whining. A couple of guys came up after the service and they just said, look, we just want you to tell you. We just want to tell you that we've been coming here a couple of weeks and God is just totally changing our lives. And you know, I'm looking for a sign and a wonder. I mean, give me something flashy. Put some glitter on it. Let's parade it in front of the TV screen. And yet that stuff never produces a changed life. And these two separate guys at different intervals last service began to tell me what God's been doing in their lives. And they're telling me, thank you. And I'm going, don't thank me. And they, I understand. Well, when I walked away, I just said, God, thank you. I felt so convicted and yet so encouraged at the same time. Only God can cut you and it feels good. You know what I mean? Thank you, Jesus. There's people in here loving each other. The greatest of all of God's manifestations is love. That's encouraging. We're blessed by that. But we see in verses 12 and 13, the heart of a healthy church. What kind of a heart does a healthy church have, and what is its manifestations? Verse 12, it says, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. First of all, they were touchy guys. You could get near them. They weren't some ivory palace. They didn't pull up in some stretched limo donkey and heal people from the outside. They got out with the people. You could touch them. They cared. The heart of a real, true church. By the way, maybe you're sampling churches. Every week, people will come by sampling churches. Is love present in the churches that you visit? Is love present here? You find out. Love will be manifested by compassion. The apostles could touch. They wanted to touch. Why? They saw Jesus do it. They saw Jesus ministering to people in need. They didn't draw their robes in tight and walk around them. They didn't, when they saw a handicapped person, look up at the cloud and whistle by and pretend you don't see them. I know for us that's the comfortable thing to do because we don't know how to minister to them. But do you realize compassion knows no boundaries? It knows no limitation. You can look at somebody and knowing just what's in your heart, you can say, hi, I hope you have a nice day. And God will convey that to them. The apostles knew how to love because they saw Jesus do it. You and I sit and read our Bibles. And I think we read our Bibles to the point where we get callous. Are we out there laying hands on people? Are we out there loving them and leading them? The heart of a healthy church is that we be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, every time God begins a new work, you can search this out with what I'm about to say in your scriptures. Whenever God begins a new work, and by the way, that new work can be in your life personally. Whenever God begins a new work, he does so with power. When he began to do a work with Moses, what did he do? He did it with power. God did all of this stuff. My goodness, there's a cloud shielding them in the daytime, casting a beautiful shadow from the desert heat. And I love it. You read in the book of Numbers, and when the cloud got up and went, you know, it was great. There are at least 2 million people in the desert. That is a camp out of the sorts I wouldn't want to be anywhere near. You go into the wilderness and there's 2 million people there. Forget it. Let's try some other campsite. This cloud's in the wilderness, and the Bible says in the book of Numbers, when that cloud would move, everybody would pack up their goods and follow the cloud. The cloud would stop, they'd stop. The cloud would back up, they'd back up. And wherever the cloud went, the people went. And then at night, there was the pillar of fire. And whenever the pillar of fire was there in the cold desert nights, God would keep them warm on one side, and he would ward off the enemy from the backside by that column of fire in the middle of the night. Can you imagine? You wake up having a bad dream, wake up, look, oh, there's the pillar, everything's fine, go back to sleep. God's home. Signs, wonders, power. Then God does a work with the prophets. They're calling down fire from heaven. The ground's opening up, swallowing people. God's moving. Every time God does an event, it's not to give you a goosebump. But Jack, I like goosebumps. Buy a feather and run it up and down your back. I love when God moves too, and I know God gives feelings, and it's neat. It's a great feeling. But we can never base our faith on that feeling. We have to build our faith and base our faith on the one who gives the feeling. When God moved through Moses, when God moved through the prophets, when God moved through Jesus, his own son, it started out in powerful signs and wonders. Why? To get the attention of the people, to minister to their temporal need at hand, to establish the authority of God, and to point them to the Word of God. Always. The Word of God's the issue. And it's the issue for the church right here. The apostles are doing great miracles. Why? To get people ministered to, but predominantly to get them to trust in Jesus Christ. That's the focal point. Are we willing to hear that? Are we willing to realize that? You know, the Bible says there's coming a time when deceivers will come and show great signs and wonders. Great. Ones so fantastic that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Are you ready for that? What are you going to do right now if somebody is supposedly raising the dead three doors down, but he's preaching another gospel? What are you going to do? Let me put it to you this way. If somebody's preaching another gospel three doors down, and they're supposedly raising people from the dead, and your child dies, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you take your child there and the guy supposedly, apparently, raises your child from the dead? Then what are you going to do? Oh, Jack, I don't know, man. See, you should know. Are you committed to the Bible enough to know that the message qualifies the very source of the miracle? Well, I don't think Satan could do that. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, Satan being able to mimic a resurrection from the dead in the person and in the being of the Antichrist. Moses had his rod. Well, the magicians of Egypt did the same thing. Turned into a snake. Are you ready? Or are we so Hollywood, so Sunset Avenue glitz that we'll give up on what we know to be true to go after a sign and wonder? We need to be careful. Signs and wonders happen if they're pointing you to Jesus Christ or the right ones. If they're pointing you to me, or if the miracle's pointing it to someone else here, forget it. That's a serious thing to consider. Verse 12, it says, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done. The word signs in the Greek means a marker, a flag, an indicator. The word in the Greek means to point the way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Just What the Doctor Ordered. A look at verse 12 through 16 of the book of Acts, chapter 5. It's yet another passage of how the early church, right there in Jerusalem, began to turn the world upside down. You know, speaking of Jerusalem, every time there is a prophecy conference, that city is nearly always the center of attention. Quite obviously, because Scripture is rife with passages that tell us what role the ancient location will play during the end times. One common myth we often hear, however, even through seemingly credible sources, is that three of the world's great religions began in Jerusalem: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And yeah, Islam did not begin there.
Yep.
It's just not true. Anyway, we're looking forward to having our prophecy conference here in January so we can educate believers, and anyone else for that matter, about the greatest threat to Israel and even the U.S. Now, Pastor Jack, what would you say to that individual who hasn't yet made the decision to attend the conference?
We're very excited about this conference for a lot of reasons. One of them is the fact that the Lord has brought these speakers under one roof one weekend, and they've never appeared before in a speaking engagement as we have here at this conference. So we're very excited. God did that, Mike, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And Mike, there's two things that are very important that our listeners need to understand, and that is, number one, these great speakers under one roof together for this conference, that tells us how important the issue is to all of them.
That's right.
To make this a priority. And having said that, Mike, $25.
Okay, if you don't mind, okay, that's awfully reasonable. $25. Why is that so little for an entire weekend, including Friday?
We're hoping that the low cost, the $25 to get in to this event, is because we're expecting a packed house. I know that's, somebody might be thinking, I know here in Southern California, where we're all from here, you know, you see something for $25 and you think, well, it must be cheap. I don't want it.
Right.
And so we really struggled because we want to be able to get these great speakers here. Some of them from Europe will be coming in, and we need to cover that. We need to take care of their coming to us. But I'll be honest with you, Mike, we wanted to make it as affordable as possible. And I hope the listeners don't think that it's something cheap. Don't hesitate to go to our website and log on and get your ticket for this event. It's going to sell out quickly.
Yeah, that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, www.SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.